many of you felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning? Hallelujah. And church, I believe that's what we need to be seeking more of. Hallelujah. More of the anointing. And that's what the Lord wanted me to preach to you about this morning, is the cry for the anointing. We need more of the anointing. Amen? And He prefaced that by letting the Spirit fall on us in such a way, causing us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we know that if we do that, His Word promises, we shall be filled. Amen. Praise the Lord. So stand with me. Turn in your Bibles to the 23rd Psalms. I want to make sure we get that Old Testament bread out there. And then I want you to turn with me to Mark 14. And we're going to put these two together maybe in a way that you've never seen before. Amen. But it has to do with the anointing of the Lord. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you there with me? Psalms 23, and most of us know this. We've learned it. Many of us in Sunday school, we learned how to quote it. So praise the Lord. We ought to try to see if we can quote it without looking at our Bibles this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. How many of you want some more anointing?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn with me now to Mark 14:3 for some New Testament bread. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. It is treasures old and new that is brought forth out of His storehouse. Amen. Treasures that you can find of the school teacher of the Old Testament teaching us and leading us unto Jesus. And treasures in that new covenant, all treasures that we find in heavenly places when we sit with Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We get to have an experience. The Bible says what the Old Testament prophets looked forward to, Brother J.W., and longed for and could never have. You and I get to experience that this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we don't avail ourselves of it, don't you know there's so great a cloud of witnesses that are watching it, are saying, I can't believe it. They had the Holy Ghost just flowing through that service, and they did not reach up and get some more. If I'd have been there, oh, I'd have taken everything I could have taken from the Spirit. Amen? Oh, they don't realize the wonderful blessings they have available to them. Don't you know, prophets of old that spoke, moved on by the Holy Ghost, but not having that indwelling comforter? That you and I have the opportunity to get this morning. Amen. Are you with me in Mark chapter 14? I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. And being in Bethany and the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? You know, the enemy of your soul will cause others to say it is a waste for the Lord to pour His anointing on some lives. Are you hearing me? The enemy doesn't like it when you get anointed. He calls it a waste. He tries to get real religious. Are you hearing me? Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will do, may do them good, but ye have not always. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of, and it will be what? It'll be for a memorial of her. Hallelujah. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious word. The word that was broken. The word that was made flesh, O Lord. So that we might have life and that more abundant. Thank you, Lord, for the seeds of truth that is found in your eternal word. I pray, God, that those seeds of truth, Lord, would settle into that fallow ground of our life. O Lord, plowed up by the Holy Ghost. And we give you the praise and the glory for all things. And everyone shouted amen. Come on, shout amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for just a little while this morning about the cry for the anointing. Now, church, I want you to recognize that there is a price to pay for the anointing. And there is a price that you and I will pay once we have obtained that anointing. Once we receive that anointing and recognize that anointing is not just the anointing of physical oil. Amen. There's a reason why the Bible says in the book of James, ye that are sick, let him call for the elders of the church, right? And they shall anoint with oil. Hallelujah. Calling upon the name of the Lord. There's a reason, church, when we come before the Lord for our healing, for a need, that oil is used, that the anointing oil is used. But don't only look at the anointing as being part of the oil, because I want you to know that there, the blood of Jesus is also the precious anointing oil. Hallelujah. When he tells the church in the book of Revelation that they anoint their eyes with eye salve so that they may see, I believe that that eye salve is the blood of the precious Lamb of God. For without that blood, you cannot see the spiritual things of the Word of God. And once we receive that anointing, church, whether it be the anointing of that physical oil that gets put on us at prayer, or whether it be the anointing of the oil of the Spirit of God, or whether it be the anointing of the blood of Jesus, make sure that you don't take it lightly. Make sure that you don't treat it lightly. Make sure that you do not disgrace that anointing. For the enemy of your soul would like you to give up. Are you hearing me, church? He wants you to give up so many of these things that has to do with the anointing, hallelujah, of the blood and of the Spirit. And it's like so many in the modern Laodicean church world that we live in. The enemy is encouraging the church world to give up the blood. Stop singing about the blood. Stop preaching about the blood. There, in fact, are many well-known preachers who are now speaking and preaching from megachurch pulpits and from televangelists preaching from television, who are telling us that there are too many of us who have a blood fetish. I'm going to tell you, church, I'm going to remind you, it is by His blood that you've been redeemed. It's by His blood that you have been washed. Hallelujah. You can't have a blood fetish. If you love Jesus, you can't have too much of His blood. Oh, the enemy wants us to give up the songs of the blood. They want us to give up the preaching of the power of the blood. And the Bible tells us that there will be those in the days in which we live who have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The power of godliness is the blood of Jesus. The power of godliness is the blood of the Lamb that still flows throughout the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Give up what? The blood? Give up our salvation? Give up our healing? Give up our victory? For what? Hallelujah. What does the enemy have that he will replace all what you get from the blood? He has nothing that will be able to replace what you get from the blood. Don't fall for that temptation from the enemy. Oh, then they want you to give up the name of Jesus, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. There's so many that want you to talk about God and it's okay. You can say God all you want to. Oh, but when you in your prayer in the name of Jesus. A whole lot of folks get bent out of shape. Oh, praise God. Oh, but the Bible tells us that whatsoever we do in word or in deed, we ought to do it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're called by the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Are you glad that the name of Jesus is written on your spiritual forehead? Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 2 and 9, it tells us this. He says this. He says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Him who? Jesus. And given him a name. What name? The name of Jesus, which is above every name. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Oh, don't give up the name of Jesus. Don't give up the blood of Jesus. Don't give up prayer in your communication with fellowship to your high priest. Don't give up your separation and holiness unto the Lord so that you can be a vessel of honor. Don't give up the anointing which breaks every yoke. Don't give up the anointing which breaks every chain, every burden. Don't give up the anointing which calls you to a higher place and a deeper walk, a marriage union with the holy bridegroom, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Oh, you look at the enemy in the eye and you resist the devil. Hallelujah. Submitting yourselves to God. And the Bible says that he will flee from you. Hallelujah. We got to stop being polite to the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. I said we got to stop being polite to the devil. He is the enemy of your soul. And Jesus makes it real plain in the Gospels. He said, you're going to love me and you're going to hate the other. You know who the other is. It's the devil. He's the one who's after you and wants you to be lost. But Jesus came that you might have life and that more abundant, church. And you're going to have to love Jesus and you're going to have to hate the devil. Are you hearing me? Because if you don't hate the devil, you can't serve two masters. You've got to love one and reject the other one. You got to love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, listen, even the church world has gotten away from the name of Jesus. Oh, there's too many hallelujahs. I've told you before, the world is getting real churchy and the church is getting real worldly. We need to proclaim the things that has called us out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. If I don't like the name of Jesus, I'll scream it at the top of my lungs. Somebody say hallelujah. They don't like the songs about the blood. That's the ones I want to sing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you just being antagonistic? Yeah, because I'm wrestling. I'm fighting. I'm striving. I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I will not back down. I will not lay down. And I will not compromise with the devil. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, you see, they don't like sin being called sin. Then you better remind them of a holy God who will judge. Hallelujah. Church, we need that anointing more than ever before. Hallelujah. And the anointing, just so you know, it's more than what we expect. I believe that with the anointing, too many Christians have become spoiled children in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that the anointing is some secret power zap weapon that we can bring forth at any moment. But I want you to understand that unless you realize what the anointing truly is, you will always be misusing that flow and anointing of the blood and of the Spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. It is the water and the Spirit and the blood. And these three agree in one. You get washed in the blood. How many of you are washed in the blood of Jesus? I want you to know that the blood of Jesus is crying out for the Spirit because they agree in one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's desiring you to move onward and upward in Christ Jesus. Oh, some say, well, I've got saved. The thief on the cross, he never got baptized. And I don't believe he ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, you know what? You're right. It is the blood that saved that thief on the cross. But let me ask you this morning. Are you dying on a cross this morning? Do you have no other opportunity to go onward and upward for Jesus? Because if your answer is no, I do have an opportunity, then you need to be obeying the obedience of the gospel and get baptized. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need that water because that water is agreeing with that blood. Hallelujah. Oh, you need that Spirit. Why? Because that Spirit is agreeing with the water and the blood, and they agree in one. It is one focus of all three. It is to drive you onward and upward into the anointing so that you have the power to fight the enemy. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah. And recognize this, even though the anointing is powerful, and it is, recognize, church, if you don't understand what the anointing is for, you'll always be misusing the flow and the anointing of the blood and of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The holy anointing oil in the Old Testament, it was poured upon the head of the high priest. Not only the high priest, but kings were also anointed. And some of the prophets, when they were called into the duty of becoming a prophet unto God, they were also anointed with the holy anointing oil. Hallelujah. It is a picture of Jesus Christ because the holy anointing oil had five ingredients in it. I'm not going to go over the ingredients this morning. We don't have time, but I want you to recognize that J-E-S-U-S is a picture, ha, hallelujah, of the holy anointing oil. That Jesus is our King. That Jesus is our priest. And that Jesus is the heavenly prophet. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's prophet, he's priest. He's King, he's redeemer. Somebody say praise the Lord. I recognize, church, that as the kings, priests, and prophets were anointed, that anointing oil, which consisted of five ingredients, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, it was poured upon their head and it began to flow downward. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Even as the woman who was there in the time of Jesus, she understood the spiritual concept. And that's why Jesus said that every time the gospel was preached, that she would be brought up. In what way? We're going to get into what way she's brought up. But recognize this, that oil was broken on his head and it began to flow downward from his head down to the rest of his body. It's a picture that Jesus Christ, he is the head over all things concerning his church. Hallelujah, that Jesus is the one from whom all blessings flow. It is by the blood of the Lamb you get the blood of the Lamb. It is by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, that he said, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, who will lead you and guide you into all truth. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. It was poured on him, on his head, and it would flow downward. And aren't you glad the Spirit of God also comes from above? The Scripture reminds us all good and perfect gifts come from above, from the Father of lights. Hallelujah, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that all things come from above? Hallelujah, all good things come from above. And our priest, our Messiah, our anointed one from which whom comes the anointing. Hallelujah. Recognize this, church, that word anoint, to anoint, or to be anointed, comes from the same Hebrew word which is Mashiach. How many of you know what Mashiach is when you get it into the New Testament? It is Messiah. It is Jesus, the anointed one. And those high priests and those kings and those prophets in the spiritual realm, maybe they understood, maybe they didn't, but what was happening is Jesus was getting poured on them from the top of their head down to the soles of their feet. And church, if there was ever a time and a day where we need more Jesus to be poured out on us, now is the day. Now is the hour. We need more of Jesus. It's like the old song that used to be sung a lot and hardly ever hear it anymore. I need a little Jesus in the morning. I need a little Jesus all through the day. I find a little kindness and understanding. I need a little Jesus for my sins. He makes me whole. Woo! How many of you want more Jesus this morning? I believe He was here with His anointing blood. I believe He was here with the anointing Spirit. And He was desiring to anoint us again. Hallelujah. How many want to get anointed again? Come on, church. How many want to get anointed again? Praise God. Listen, church. Oh, hallelujah. By the time I get down to the end of this, I hope you're still shouting hallelujah and amen. Say, somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Recognize that our high priest, the Messiah, He's the anointed one from whom all anointing flows. Hallelujah. And He came as our heavenly high priest, not of an earthly priesthood, where you had an Old Testament priest who would offer up sacrifices. Hallelujah. And He would push that sin ahead for 1 year. But we have Jesus. The Bible says is of a heavenly priesthood. Jesus Christ, He already walked the path of crucifixion for you and I. He knows the path. He knows the way. Hallelujah. And here's what I want to make sure you catch this morning, if you don't catch anything else. The anointing is to prepare you. Are you hearing me, church? Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. The anointing is to prepare you for the dying of more of your flesh, so that you might be buried with Christ and then risen with Him in newness of life. It's not so you can impress others with. It is to prepare your stinky old natural flesh to get ready to die to some more of you, so that you might be raised up into more power and grace with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus in the 14th chapter of Mark that I read to you, and also in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, she said, the Bible says, she is preparing me for my burial. Somebody say hallelujah. Did you remember that? She's preparing me and anointing my body for the burial. Well, recognize this, church. Before there was burial, there had to be crucifixion. Before there was burial, there had to be suffering. Hallelujah. How many of you recognize that you're going to have to be crucified with Christ so that nevertheless you might live? So that now the life which you live, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Now you understand what the anointing is for. How many of you still want the anointing of the Holy Ghost? How many of you still want the anointing of the blood? It's to prepare you to die to more of yourself. Before He was buried, He had to be broken and die. Before crucifixion, hallelujah, somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, we see the process. Before there can be resurrection, there has to be burial. Before there can be burial, there has to be crucifixion. Woo, but praise God, before crucifixion, Sister Lynn, there has to be anointing. Hallelujah. Jesus in the garden, He was laying everything down. In the garden, He was crying, and He was crying out with great intense tears, the Bible says. Crying out intensely, and His drops, His tears, and His sweat became as great drops of blood. He was taking on that burden of guilt and shame in agony in the garden, and the weights of the sins of the world began to be laid upon His shoulder. And there are so many who get this wrong. They say that He was saying, oh please, I can't handle this. Oh Lord, please let this cup pass from me. And he was not saying that. He was crying out, "Father, I see you. I know you. I do what I see you do. I say what I hear you say. And you have been saying this was a cross story. Oh, but unless you do something, Father, my flesh is going to break down and die right here in the garden, and I won't make it to the cross. Oh, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And sometimes, church, we're called to a place where we are to crucify the flesh, and we get to the Garden of Sorrow and Gethsemane, and you know what? We think that's it and that's enough. We need to be crying out to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, I know this is not your plan. You want me to be crucified with Christ." Not just have a bad day. Hallelujah. That went from oh me to amen to oh me real fast. Sometimes we have a bad day in the garden of sorrows where things aren't working the way we think they ought to, and we think we've died with Christ. That's not what the anointing was for. The anointing wasn't just to get you through a bad day. The anointing was to get you through that garden of a bad day so that you might take yourself to the cross of Calvary and be crucified with Christ again. Woo! Now can somebody say hallelujah? You see, when God is about to call you to another place of sacrifice and dying to your flesh, He begins to pour out the oil of anointing to set you apart and to prepare you for what is coming. You recognize, church, that these high priests, when this oil was poured on them, when the Jesus in liquid form, natural form, was poured on their heads so that it flowed all the way down, they recognized their life was no longer their own. They were now in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when He begins to pour His anointing on you, it is not so you might lift yourself up with pride and say, "Look at me, look at what I've accomplished, look at what I've done." Oh, but you ought to say, "I realize I'm not my own, I've been bought with a price. And I'm ready to die. I'm ready to give up my dreams, my life, my ambitions, my goals, my thoughts, my ways, and I want to live them your way, God." Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for Jesus? Church, many times we go into battle, and I'm almost closing. Many times we go into battle, and we don't have the anointing. We rush God on getting into the battlefield. And He says, "Where are you going? I haven't poured my anointing on you to prepare you for what is coming." Church, are you hearing me? We come into the place such as today, into the place where the Spirit of the anointing of the blood and of the water and of the Spirit is flowing. And church, we want to rush on out of here and begin to face the enemy. Sometimes you need to stand still and see the salvation of God. In the salvation of God, He's going to pour His anointing on you, and it will go from the top of your head down to the soles of your feet. And then sometimes we get the anointing, but then we sit around and never go into the battle. And then there's other times we get the anointing and we wrap it around our gift and calling and use it for our own gain and fulfillment. Recognize this. When the Bible says the disciples came back to the tomb of Jesus, it mentions it really plain in Luke 19. It says, "And they saw where Jesus laid a napkin folded up by itself." Are you hearing me, church? That word napkin has been misused and misplaced so many times in this modern world. And they try to make it into an eating or dining experience. That's not the napkin that Jesus was talking about in His Word. And there are those who say, "Well, you know, when you go to a fine restaurant and you get up from the table, Sister Ruth, if you're going to come back, you fold your napkin and place it beside your plate." And then that way the waiter coming by says, oh, I know you're coming back. And so Jesus, when he folded his napkin and put it over there beside its tomb, over by itself, he was saying to everybody, I'm coming back. That's not what he was saying with the napkin. That is not a dinner napkin that he's talking about. It is a napkin that the high priest would wrap around their neck, hallelujah, and when they had to go to the place of death and the place of sacrifice, the holy anointing oils that was poured on their head, it gets caught around that napkin, and there's a sweet smelling savor all day long that's flowing in your life, even when you're having to die to more of yourself, and your stinky old flesh is doing just that. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And even in the midst of being crucified with Christ, having to submit your flesh to another place of death and surrender, Brother Mark, the sweet smelling savor of Jesus keeps coming up into your nostrils as a way for you to praise God for what He has done. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's what that napkin was. Not a dinner napkin. It's a napkin the high priest wore to catch that holy anointing oil. Hallelujah. And you know what? It reminds me, I see so many folks now walking around town. Got this little mask pulled up around their nose and face. They call it a bandana. But in the times of the high priest, it was called a napkin. You want to know why? In that place where they were slaughtering animals and cutting them in half and gathering that blood so that it might be ceremoniously sprinkled where it needed to be sprinkled, and all those entrails and all that stuff that had to be removed out of that place of worship, outside the camp, it still stunk in that place of death and sacrifice. And he would take, hallelujah, that napkin that was around his neck and put it up over his nose so he could smell the sweet savor of Jesus even as he went about the call and the duty of priest. Now church, do you remember he said he redeemed you by his blood and made you to be kings? How many of you want to be kings? He also made you to be priests. You know what that means? You better be about the duty of sacrificing your flesh unto God. Uh-oh. I know that's not a popular message in today's world. I said, but you better be about as priest. You better be about your priestly duties. And part of your priestly duties, make sure you got that napkin around your neck. Make sure you got Jesus flowing, hallelujah, from the top of your head down to the sole of your feet. And some of that oil get caught on that napkin. So as you're going about your daily life, as you're going about your daily struggle, as you're going about your daily battle with the enemy, and you recognize the more of your flesh you need to crucify, you can take Him to the cross of Calvary, pull that napkin up, and smell more Jesus. And you'll never smell you. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? John chapter 20, recognize this, that new anointing. That new anointing is found. And this is where it tells us in John chapter 20 that they found that napkin all by itself. Laid aside all by itself. And did you know what? There was still that sweet smelling savor coming up off that napkin. You know what that tells us, church? That we're going to find ourselves in the tomb. We're going to find ourselves in that place of death. We're going to find ourselves. Now listen, this is after crucifixion, but it is before resurrection. Amen? Where are you going to find the anointing? You see, as a church world, as Christians, I believe we get this anointing thing wrong. We think this anointing thing comes over here in the resurrection power of God. I'm here to remind you that it's in the other side you find the anointing. The other side, what do you mean, Pastor? The other side. He said that I may know Him. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Is anointing found over there? No. You want to know where it's found? Fellowshipping with His suffering, being made conformable to His death. Hallelujah. How many of you still want anointing?
Amen.
How many of you still want the anointing of the Lord?
Amen.
Where is it going to be found? At the cross of surrender. At the place where you learn to crucify more of yourself.
Listen, church, that's what Jesus' goal is for you. It's not that you just experience the power of His resurrection. In fact, you will not experience the power of His resurrection if you never fellowship with His suffering, being made conformable to His death. You will not find the anointed. You'll not find that place. Hallelujah. How many of you know that when you come to Jesus, you've got to go to the cross of Calvary. You've got to die to self.
Amen.
And it's there where you find the anointing of the blood. And as you walk onward in Christ Jesus, it is there where you find the anointing of the washing of the waters of the Word, of His name, of His life, and of His death. It is there where you find the anointing of the oil of the Spirit being poured into your life. Why? So that you might be ready for the resurrection. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, let's take a look at this again, will you, as I close. Go back in your Bibles with me to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. How many of you are so grateful that Jesus is your shepherd? I shall not want. I'll never be in a lack of what I need. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you'll always get what you want. That means He'll always provide your needs according to His riches and glory. And there's a big gulf between your want and your need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Hallelujah. That's that resurrected side, Brother Johnny, where it's green pastures and the waters are still. There's no craziness going on. How many of you love that place? Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. That's where He restores your soul. When He gets you up on that resurrected, powerful side, how many of you love that side? How many of you say, Pastor, it's been a long time since I've been over on that side? Well, you know why? Because you haven't been down to the place performing your priestly duties and putting a napkin around your nose while you crucify yourself. Because when you do that, He's balanced. He's going to lead you by the still waters. And He's going to restore your soul. Then He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Oh, and here it is. Yea. Though I walk, He didn't say if I walk. Church, as a believer, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death where you learn to crucify your flesh. And if you're not doing that, you're not following Jesus. Uh-oh. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and let him follow me. Where is He taking you? Calvary. So that you might learn what He already learned. So that you might go the place He's already been. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil when I'm going to the cross of Calvary and I'm crucified with Christ. Why do I fear no evil? Lord, because Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod of correction from your word and the staff of direction from your word, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then Thou anointest my head with oil. And not just a little, amen. My cup runneth over. And you know why He's doing that? So that I can go back to the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. So that I can go back to the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hallelujah. So that He will take me back again. Praise God. To the place where He restores my soul and causes me to lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. How many of you want the anointing of the Lord again today? The anointing of the Lord. And we felt it so precious, so sweet, so real today. Church, if we do not take advantage every opportunity that we have. I talked to Brother Milton yesterday. Talked to Brother Milton over the phone because I couldn't talk to him in person. And he confirmed with me that they had them confined to their rooms, Brother Johnny. He confirmed with me that only yesterday he was able to get out of his room and go down the hallway, and that was a treat. And with his quivery little voice, and he'll break down when he starts talking about the Lord. He said, Pastor, I miss coming to church. I said, "Oh, Brother Milton, we miss you too. And we're praying for you that God's presence and Spirit, that His anointing will be with you in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of the place that you're at." Church, do you realize that the Lord is wanting to pour His anointing on us? And sometimes we act like, if truth be told, we may even feel like we've got another opportunity. We've got next Sunday. We've got the Sunday after that. We've got next month. And you know what? We may even have next year. I'm going to tell you something. You're not promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. And I'll tell you again, like I told you at the first of the year, church, this could be the last chance we ever get to sit in the house of God together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Church, can you lift your hand and say, "Lord, would you anoint me again? Could you anoint my head with oil? Lord, would your oil of your Spirit, the oil of your blood, Lord, would it begin to flow again in my life in a powerful and precious way?" And Lord, even though I may not be able to come back to this physical house of worship, I know that if I let the Spirit and the blood flow through my life, that I might be anointed with it, surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.